Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Happy frigid February 1st, coming to you live to the hard drive from beautiful, cold Grand Forks, North Dakota. Brad, how you doing this fine week?
Well, I'm glad I'm sitting inside here right now. Like you say, winter has arrived with a vengeance. You know, the first part of the year started out, the first part of the winter, pretty mellow. But tell you what, that second half of January, things kicked into gear a little bit. Now as we get into February, it's downright cold. And according to what I'm hearing, the forecast for this weekend is for more of the same, only maybe even a little bit worse. So, you know, if you're going to be a fisherman this weekend, you're going to have to be real diehard.
Good heaters and good portables this weekend, and not to mention good clothes. Only a real trooper is going to handle some tip-ups this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think I'm going to take the weekend off from fishing this weekend. I'm lucky I get to do enough of it over the course of a year. I don't need to do it when the high temperature is going to be 20 below or whatever it's going to be. Might just do a little hibernating this weekend, get some work done around the house, take care of some business. But it could change, but right now I can't see it happening.
Well, you know, you got to do that once in a while, and thinking back on it, I think this is about the longest stretch you've taken with only one fishing outing in the middle of winter, and at least since I've known you.
Yeah, absolutely. January was a pretty slow month on the fishing front. It wasn't necessarily that I didn't want to go. It was just, you know, things came up. I had things going on the weekends. That tended to be, you know, the most likely time to go. I had some irons in the fire work-wise that didn't allow me to get out during the week, and so the upshot was one fishing trip during the month of January, but if I do say so myself, it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a couple of seconds, but as far as my fishing for this weekend, it's still up in the air. We're kind of waiting to judge on the wind what's going to happen, I think, more than anything, because sitting in a portable when it's 20 below is not a big deal until you put a 20-mile-an-hour wind into the equation.
Oh, absolutely. That changes everything. In fact, you know, I look back over the years, and I'd have to say one of the best days on the ice I've ever had, and I've probably told this story here before, but I want to say it was Super Bowl Sunday, and, you know, kind of a common denominator there because, of course, Super Bowl Sunday is right around the corner here now, but it was Super Bowl Sunday of 1987, so, man, 20 years ago, 20-year anniversary. And I left my parents' house that morning to go up to Lake of the Woods, and the thermometer read 47 below zero. And there's no wind chill involved here. That's straight air temperature. And that is freaking cold. I don't care what anybody says. And my mode of transportation at that time was a Ford Escort with a hatchback. I had my portable in the back. Didn't even have it plugged in because the cord on the block heater was broken. And by some miracle, that car started that morning. So I figured, well, the car's running, I might as well go fishing, and picked up my fishing partner, and off to the lake we went. And, you know, back then, no Vexlars, no depth finders, didn't even have a gas auger back then, just had a hand auger. We drilled through about 3 feet of ice, drilled two holes, set up the portable, dropped my bobber down, and the bobber just kept going. And, you know, my initial thought was, well, the jig's too heavy. Went to pull back on the line, and there's a fish on the end, and it never quit all day. Back then on Lake of the Woods, the sauger limit was 20 each. We limited on saugers, caught several big perch to boot, and I mean, it was just an absolutely amazing day. I'd have to think long and hard to come up with a better day on the ice than that one.
Well, that's, you know, everybody's got to have a story like that. On a particularly cold day, I don't know that I have a success story like that, but I do have a couple ice fishing success stories, which we can save for another time, but you know, we were talking a little bit about our trip from last weekend that we took, and I'm going to preface this by saying we have officially found the gadget that not only catches fishermen, but it helps catch fish.
Absolutely. I'd have to agree with you completely on that one. And, you know, you alluded a little bit to gadgets. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have come down the line over the years that, you know, hook fishermen, but in the long run, they're not going to stand up. But That Frable tip-up, and I don't remember its official name. Maybe you can fill us in on that.
It was a Frable Arctic Fire tip-up.
Arctic Fire, okay.
Frable Arctic Siren attached to it. However, the siren can attach to any tip-up.
That was just a great toy because we were set up in a situation where we had a portable fish house. It was, you know, it was cold enough outside where you didn't want to be sitting out there all day. And We were sitting with the tip-ups behind us, nice and warm inside the portable, so instead of having to turn around every once in a while to check out the window to check the status of those tip-ups, we just listened for the siren, and, you know, the fish were hitting pretty good that day, the pike were hitting, and those flags were popping, and that siren would go off, and, I mean, it was just great fun, and they're loud, they're a little bit obnoxious when you're close to them. From a distance, they're not bad, and I just thought they were the biggest kick. I had a lot of fun with them, and you know, I'll definitely be adding a couple of those to my arsenal.
Well, you know, I guess a gadget is the appropriate word. Necessary? Well, yeah, for night fishing, I do think it's necessary now that I own them. But a necessity for pike fishing, probably not. You just turn the ice house around and look out the front window, and you're going to notice the flags, but it's just so darn fun. And now I've had two occasions where grown men that can't look at them and those sirens going off, it's just like little kids chasing them. And it's I just have so much fun with it.
Oh, I found myself laughing every time I would run toward that flag. I just had a blast with it. It was excellent. I mean, I love tip-up fishing anyway. You know, it brings out the kid in me more so probably even than watching a bobber go down. But when you throw that siren and that blinking, flashing light into the mix on top of it, and the thing about the siren is it changes level. I mean, it starts out, it kind of goes, woo, woo, woo. And then, you know, as the longer it goes, it seems like the sound changes every so many seconds. And pretty soon you get to that, rah, rah, rah. You know, it's like a car alarm, very, very similar to that. I mean, it's just funny, you know, it didn't help us catch more fish, but it certainly, you know, simplified the things as far as the way we had our tip-up set up, you know, which was behind us. And, of course, we did that on purpose just because we knew we had those sirens. But it's fun. And, I mean, anything that can make fishing a little bit more fun, I'm all for.
You know, that's just it. Like I said, I've bought them for a necessity. I bought them for one specific thing. Over the past few years, I've been looking for a nice tip-up light, something that I can do night walleyes with. And I haven't found a convenient to use light per se. I mean, there's lights out there that work and they do their job perfectly. The Frabel even has the Arctic Fire light, which is, you know, it does a very nice job. But when I saw the catalog with these sirens, I'm thinking that's perfect. You sit in the shack, you stare at your Vexilar, you're concentrating on what's going on under you, and if a fish should hit the tip up, the siren will tell me. And that's what I bought it for, was for the flashing light and the siren at night for walleyes. But of course, you get any new toy, you want to test drive it. And so we threw it in a pike spread the first time, and it just makes grown men little kids. It's just such a hoot. And the day I took little kids out, I slipped the two of them into the spread, 19 tip-ups and two sirens. But unfortunately, those tip-ups didn't get hit that day, but could you imagine the reaction two little kids would have had if one of them went off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, fortunately, that wasn't the case last weekend. Those tip-ups were popping pretty regularly, both of the ones we had out there. And it certainly had nothing to do with the siren and the tip-up, but for whatever reason, the bigger fish that day were hitting on the tip-up. And, you know, I'm at a loss to explain why, but wouldn't you say that was the trend?
I think that's weather-related. You're right. And I think what was happening, and I'm no scientist, so I can't comment officially on this, but it appears that the fish were coming up and giving it a real hard look. You know, they were a little sluggish, it seemed, you know, using the Vexilars and stuff, giving it a hard look. And I think that live sucker we had and the tip-up just hanging there was giving them the opportunity to give it that long, hard look before they made the strike. Whereas in the house, we were jigging and working it pretty hard, and you know, littler fish tend to be a little bit more aggressive for food in a sluggish situation. But that's my take on the situation.
Oh, yeah, I think there's definitely something to that, because, you know, the one thing you notice is that when you walked up to that flag, you didn't see that little pulse spinning around 90 miles an hour like you see sometimes when those pike are really active. You know, many times the pulse would be barely turning or not turning at all, and you'd pull up on the line and you'd just slowly pull up on the slack, and then you could feel something just hanging on the other end. A lot of times that would be enough just to trigger them a little bit and they take off running and you could set the hook. But I had one fish there that day that all of a sudden I just kept pulling nice and easy. It hung on to the sucker minnow and it did not let go. And the next thing you know, there's a head popping up the hole. There was never a run. It was just a nice, slow, you know, very sluggish fish. until it got on the ice, and then it realized that, hey, it's, something's not quite right here. But, you know, all in all, it was my first day of tip-up fishing this winter, and a reminder once again of why I love that style of fishing so much. It's just such a blast.
Well, and the lesson to be taken away from this on the whole why fish that we've talked about for 99 shows now is we had fun, and that's all that it really matters, is that we had fun, and, you know, it was just for all practical purposes basically mindless fun with the tip-ups, but so effective, so much fun to use.
They are. They're great fun. And, you know, the nice thing now is looking down over the next few weeks, I see a number of tip-up trips in the future, you know, culminating with a get-together out on Devil's Lake in later March, and I'm sure there'll be several, you know, between now and then. And like I say, I just love fishing with them. And, you know, you can, they're pretty versatile little tools. You can use them for pike, obviously, but they're a great walleye, you know, addition to the walleye arsenal as well.
I have to digress for a moment. If everybody who tells me they're showing up to this Devil's Lake get-together actually shows up and has tip-ups, we could have a spread of 60. Could you imagine if they're really rocking?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially if you had too many of those, those siren tip-ups, you know, you'd have every dog out there just freaking out. And that's another thing I should probably, mention about our trip last weekend, is we had the siren went off, and a short time later, this creature starts walking across the ice. And, you know, upon further discussion with some other folks, we came to the conclusion what we saw out there that day was a timber wolf. And, that's a pretty cool thing. They're a pretty elusive creature. I grew up in wolf country. I've only seen a handful of them in my life. And can't say 100% sure, but I'm certainly inclined to think that it probably was. It was too big for a coyote. Wasn't a dog, so that kind of leaves one alternative there. So, you know, another neat thing, and maybe they could be used as a predator caller as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll pass that along to the good people at Frable and see what they say about that. But, we're sitting here at the 12-minute mark, which when we started this show was about as far as we could go. As I said earlier, show number 99. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. The big 100 has hit. It's here. Next week is basically going to be nothing more than a reunion show. But in listening to some of the sound bites from the last 2 years, I think it's going to be a pretty interesting show for the people who have been with us for the whole ride.
I think that's true. And, you know, you touched on it a little bit in the context of a ride, and that's really what it's been. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's given us a chance to, rehash a lot of great fishing stories and hopefully share some with you out there, and maybe inspire you to get out and have some fun yourself. And it's just hard to believe it's been that long. I mean, you know, in the context of something here like a podcast, I think it's a media in a lot of ways that's here one day and gone the next for, you know, many, many different types of shows. And we've been plugging away at this for quite a while now. And it's amazing. It has. It's been a lot of fun. And I think we've learned a little bit in the process, too. And, you know, that in itself has been pretty cool. So, stay tuned next week and rehash some of those old shows with us and enjoy it.
And for those of you who have been with us since the beginning, we're going to even play the old theme song. The 19, was it 26? I don't remember anymore about it, but it was a great song. And
it
we're going to
yes,
play it
was,
again.
It was by an old folk singer by the name of Henry Thomas, a song called Fishin' Blues, later made popular by Taj Mahal. But it's a song that's hit a special place in my heart from the first time I ever heard it. It's just a great kind of a bluesy, folksy tune, and we'll be pulling that one out of the archives next week. So you want to check that out too. And other things going on right now. What's on your mind?
Well, for those of you who listen every week, you may have noticed we talked about our trip with Kent Hollins that we're going to be giving away, and then we kind of quit talking about it. And that's because we are working on a deal that's going to be bigger and better than ever for giving this away. It's going to give a lot more people an opportunity to participate, and I think it's going to make the contest a lot more fun in the long run. So stay tuned for some details on what we're doing with that. We are still giving it away, but we're making the contest bigger and better for everyone involved. So we'll probably announce that at show 101, what that's actually going to be, and give the details on that. So stay tuned on that. Stay tuned for show 100 next week. I've been contacting a few people for some future shows as well, so I see some big things coming here on Why Fish here yet this winter.
We should probably have a, you know, a little quick rundown on fishing reports around the area too. I know one of the most exciting things I've seen this winter has been the bite up on Lake of the Woods. Consistently good fishing from the time the lake froze up. And of course we were lucky enough to be up there in December and had, you know, a couple of pretty good days out there. But it's been plugging away pretty consistently all winter long. And the neat thing lately has been the number of big fish. You know, I know of fish up to 31 3/4 inches that have been caught in the past 2 weeks. And, you know, we're talking about fish that are 12 pounds or better. And, you know, anytime you have a chance at a fish like that, that's pretty exciting. And I mean, I grew up fishing Lake of the Woods. I remember the days when, you know, somebody catching a 5-pound walleye was pretty big news. And that's certainly not the case anymore. Does it mean you're going to have a, you know, or you're going to catch one every time out? No, probably not. There's still, you know, that's still a pretty special occasion, but the potential definitely is there. So, you know, I've got a trip to Lake of the Woods coming up here in a couple of weeks, and to say I'm excited about it would be an understatement.
Well, that's going on. Haven't been hearing many rumblings as of late, but we all know Stu and the boys at Cats on the Red are working Lake Winnipeg pretty hard for that late ice stretch in March. And that's showing a lot of promise, but we'll keep you up to date on that when we hear more.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, things were cooking along quite nicely on Devil's Lake. We had this cold snap that's, you know, lingering now. Seems to have affected things a little bit in the short term. But, I mean, it's been a pretty good winter over there. The perch have been biting better than they have in quite some time. You know, hearing some great walleye reports, especially morning and again toward evening. And pike, well, what do you say about pike on Devil's Lake? You can catch them all day long, and you have so many options. Pick a spot on the lake where you want to fish. You can probably catch them there. You can go to some of the other smaller lakes up north of town. And just, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. So that's exciting. And I guess meantime, it's just a matter of weathering out this cold snap and, you know, planning for the future right now.
Well, you know, if it's not windy, I have no problem going fishing in this weather. Cold, who cares? I've got the clothes for it. I've got a good heater and I've got a good shack, so... Wind is the only thing that really deters me from it.
Oh, I agree with you completely. And, you know, I was talking about that cold day I fished back in Super Bowl Sunday 1987. That was the beauty of that day, is there was absolutely no wind at all. And it was very bearable. We were nice and warm inside that house. No regrets at all. So, you know, don't let the cold keep you out, you know, keep you out of there this weekend if you have a chance to go and the wind's not too bad. But other than that, maybe it's time to call her a wrap on this week.
We're done for this week. I think told a few more stories and maybe even gave a couple more little tips. But stay tuned next week. We might even end up having a little bit longer show than normal once we get all the sound bites put together. But we've picked out some really, really good ones, I think, from the last 2 years of this road we call Why Fish.
Absolutely. So for now, we're signing off on show number 99. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.